Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Hey, we got a special treat for you today. Cindy is back with us, and she's bringing a good lesson for us. So, Cindy, come on over here. And as you come, I'm just going to kind of lead out with a prayer here for the whole service. Lord, we just thank you that you're with us, you guide us, you encourage us, you remind us that you're good all the time. And so we just want to just live in that presence, Lord, and be thankful, be appreciative, Lord, of your Spirit that's always with us. Never leave us or forsake us all the time, Lord. Thank you. You're keeping us safe and you're keeping us protected. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, that's for everybody, especially you seniors out there that are watching now. So, Cindy, come on in, and we're going to turn it over to you, and I'm going to move this microphone out of the way.
Alrighty. Okay. Well, it's good to be here, but it is still sad not to see everybody. In my mind's eye, I can see Loretta over at this table with Dot and maybe Nita. And I can see the men over here, and then I think Jeanette usually sits right over here, and then Becky's usually over here, and I see them in my mind's eye. And Paula, my parents are usually over here at this table. Usually have, I'm going to miss some people. I'm fixing to get in trouble. I haven't mentioned any of the men. So if y'all are upset, I'm sorry. You need to pray about it, because that's what we're talking about today. Prayer. We're going to talk about that. But, so I thought it was appropriate, especially that Steve started opened in prayer, which is always a good thing. But we're going to talk today about kind of our private prayer time and that how Jesus prayed, not necessarily how he taught us to pray, but things that we saw, from his life and how he actually did pray, times he prayed and how he went about it. So, I titled this, prayer, the most important thing. This is the most important conversation you're going to have ever in your day is prayer. It's that time you take with God before you talk to anybody else. You take it to God before you take it to your husband or your kids or somebody at church. But you take that time to speak to the Lord and talk to him. That's the most important conversation you're going to have. I did a little bit of research. And I was just interested on different religions and like how much time they pray. Now, pray is a loose term because sometimes they're like just chanting or something like that. But Muslims pray 5 times a day. 5 times a day. Typically not a real long time, but 5 times a day. Now, Buddhists pray 3 to 4 times a day. And Pentecostals will never convert to Buddhism. And I'm going to tell you why. Because they only eat twice a day. And we have to have more food than that. Can't have your potlucks in the evening and stuff like that if you're a Buddhist. So we would never do that. Roman Catholic priests pray 5 times a day. And cloistered nuns pray 7 times a day. The first time of the day is right after midnight, which we would have to get up in the middle of the night to pray. So we have all these religions that pray at different time, pray for a lot of at different times, but not necessarily long prayers, but they really keep that kind of a focus. But then here are Christians, and Christians are at liberty in choosing when to fellowship with God through prayer. But while some are mature in the faith and have dedicated prayer lives, others only pray when in Christian gatherings or in trouble. Isn't that sad? That's sad that we only pray when we're in trouble. You know, a lot of people call themselves Christians and rarely go to church. They're what we call our creasters. They go at Christmas and Easter. That's probably as much as they pray. But, you know, that prayer time is so important to get alone with the Lord and to pray and to read his word, prayerfully read his word. Be in that attitude of prayer while you're reading so that he can illuminate things to you. He can bring things to your attention that maybe normally you wouldn't realize if you weren't in that attitude of prayer. You know, Jesus talks to us. God talks to us. And we just have to listen. every morning at work, I put out a morning email telling everybody what's going on that day and sometimes the next day, you know, just to keep people updated. And inevitably, I have one gentleman that works for me that never knows anything that's going on. He has no idea. And he said, well, I wish you'd have told me you were ordering lunch in today because I brought my lunch. I said, well, it was in the email. Well, I wish you had told me we were doing this or they were going to have maintenance on the machine today. Well, it was in the email. And so I just had to tell him, look, it's your responsibility to know what's in the email. If you choose not to open it, it's on you. But it is in the email. So you need to know what's going on. So, you know, it's important that we listen, and there's different kinds of communication, but with the Lord, we can read His Word. He communicates through His Word. He communicates through talking to our heart, and we need to be receptive to what He has for us. So we need to pray like Jesus. Scripture says, one day soon, after Jesus went up on the mountain to pray, He prayed to God all night. All night. Night. That's pretty plain, pretty simple scripture. It didn't say he prayed and slept and prayed and slept and, you know, he ate and prayed but he prayed all night. So that's a long time. That is a long span of communing with God. And I don't know that I can't tell you that I've ever prayed all night. I can't say I have. I've prayed some in the night. I've gotten up and prayed different hours in the night, but I've never prayed through the night. But God, or Jesus, prayed all night long. So He prayed for a long time. He prayed for an extended period of time. Now, there may be times when we need to do that, but typically we don't. Another scripture says about 8 days after Jesus said this, He took Peter, John, and James with Him and went up onto a mountain to pray. Now, this is the part of scripture that we usually call the Mount of Transfiguration, where the Moses and Elijah came and they were, you know, and Jesus' face was all illuminated and everything, and the disciples slept through most of it. They weren't praying. They went with Him to pray, but they were sleeping. But they woke up and they saw the end of it, but they didn't see the whole thing because they were sleeping instead of praying. But you know, Jesus prayed with other people. He spent time in prayer with others. That was His intent, taking them up there. He wanted them to pray with Him, not necessarily sleep through the whole thing or most of it. But Jesus spent time in prayer with others. And you know, even though the disciples tended to have an attention span of maybe a fly, He still took them along anyway because He wanted to commune with them in prayer. Another scripture says, Father, I thank You that You have heard me. I know that You always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that You sent me. He's praying and he's praying to God, first of all, thanking Him that that He hears us. But also he says out loud, I'm praying for the benefit of these people here. I know that You hear me. So Jesus gave thanks to God. But he also prayed so that others could hear him. And sometimes I know when I've had to pray for people for healing or they're going through a hard time or whatever it may be, I don't have to say a long prayer. It can be short. It can be to the point. But sometimes I feel led to pray a little bit longer and to pray some scripture in there because I feel that they need some encouragement. And I feel like if I can say that scripture and I can say, God, I know that You hear us. I know You always hear us when we pray, just like Jesus did. It's an encouragement to them, and it kind of boosts their faith up, and they need that sometimes to get their miracle. So we need to be able to speak truth when we pray, and we need to speak it for the benefit of the person we're praying for. Another scripture says, my prayer is not that You take them out of this world, but that You protect them from the evil one. This is Jesus praying for His disciples. He goes on to pray for all of us when He says, but my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message. That's in John 17. So Jesus prayed for other people, and Jesus prayed for us. Wow. Think about that. We like to have people pray for us. I like it when people come up and say, you know, I've been praying for you this week, or is everything okay? I just feel like I need to pray for you. It makes me feel good when people pray for me. But to think that Jesus prays for us, Jesus, God's Son, prays for us. He intercedes. Think about that. He intercedes on our behalf. Wow, that should make us all feel great, knowing that Jesus prays for us. The perfect one prays for us. Jesus also said this in Mark 14:36, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Jesus was in a hard situation. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying. He knows he's going to be crucified. He knows what's about to come. But he's saying, I don't want to do this. If it's possible, if there's another way, let's do the other way. I vote other way. I vote. Let's do that. But then he says, you know what? But not my way, your way. It needs to be your way. And so he turned his will over to the Lord. over to his Father. Now Jesus prayed for himself there. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for a good attitude. I don't know about you. I'm probably the only one, but sometimes my attitude's not real good. So sometimes I have to pray for my attitude. I have to pray when people, you know, make me angry or upset. I have to pray for me first, that I act right and I say and do the right things. We have to pray for ourselves and then pray for others. But sometimes, praying for divine appointments, praying for myself, and then I say, Lord, use me. That usually costs me time. That sometimes costs me money. God says, you know what? There's a $50 bill in your purse. Why don't you pull that out and hand that to somebody? You go, oh, okay. Sometimes it makes you cringe just a little bit, if that's your last bit of money in your purse or something. But we have to do what the Lord wants us to do, and we've got to pray that we're willing to do that. And our flesh does not want to really help other people a lot. So it's good for us to pray for ourselves that we are in God's perfect will. We are exactly where Jesus and God want us to be, that we will be obedient to what they ask us to do. So we just need to make sure that we pray for ourselves, because we need it. We need it. And I'm sure not only I, but you as well. We all do. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He's praying for the people who are crucifying him. Now that might be kind of hard for you and I to do, to pray for the people that crucified him. Jesus interceded on behalf of his enemies. Instead of telling God to zap them, telling God how mean they are, or, you know, they're going to get theirs, I can't wait till they're thrown in the lake of fire, or, you know, he didn't say that. He just said, forgive them. We have a hard time asking people, or asking God to forgive those who make us angry, or we think have betrayed us, or have hurt us in some way. We have a hard time with that. But we really shouldn't, because we should pray God bless them. We should pray God help them. We should pray that God would make himself real to them and help them and bless them. You know, one time I was whining to God because I had a person who it seemed like I was always trying to reach out to them, and they just kind of pushed me away. And I just got tired of being the one to always reach out and try to include them in things and trying to do that. And it just seemed like I was, you know, rebuffed every time. So I'm praying. I'm like, you know, God, I shouldn't always have to be the one to reach out. I'm always the one that has to reach out. I'm always doing it. And, you know, they just go on their merry way. And I'm just telling God how it is. And he just spoke to my heart and he said, yes, but you're mine and it's required. End of discussion. That was the end of it right there. I was like, okay, all right, so I will quit griping about that. Another time, Matthew 27, it says, about that 3:00, Jesus called out with a loud voice, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Jesus felt abandoned by God. But Jesus prayed honestly to God about that. It was an honest statement that he made. You know, sometimes we feel like we have to keep it all together and we can't tell God, I'm angry at you or I am angry at somebody else. We feel like we have to pretend like we're holy. And that's kind of silly because God knows we're not. And he knows the truth of the situation. So, you know, you're not fooling God. If you're angry at God or at man or anything, tell God about it. There was a time I was really angry about a situation and I was enjoying it. I mean, I was just reveling in the anger. And I told God, I am so mad, but you know what? I like it. I just told him, I like it. And I said, but you know what? I know I'm not supposed to like it. I know that this is wrong of me, so you're going to have to help me not to like it. And just that honest prayer, boy, did he just start making, changing the way I felt and making me realize that, okay, now I've got to get past this. I'm going to need to pray for this person. I need to pray about the situation. I can't stay here. I can't wallow in the anger and enjoy it. He's not going to let me. But he started changing my heart. Because I was honest, and I think if I had gone on and said, oh, no, I'm not really mad. You know, it's okay, God. I'm not upset about it. You know, first of all, I'm lying to God. I'm lying to myself. we just need to be honest. And Jesus was honest in his prayers. So, really, in conclusion, and it's kind of a long conclusion because there are several points here that we talked about. One is all prayer matters. You know, we have this thing that's all lives matter, and they do. But all prayer matters, whether it's long, whether it's short, whether it's in the morning, whether it's at night, all prayer matters. Next is spend time, planned time with God. Plan it. Plan a time when you're not going to be disturbed. Plan a time when your phone typically doesn't ring. It will probably ring anyway, but maybe leave it in another room, whatever you need to do, but spend some planned time, some focused time with the Lord. And then spend time in prayer with others. It could be your spouse. Brian and I pray every single day together before we part. We pray for each other. We pray for our children. We pray for our church. And we pray for Pastor Doug and Tasha every single day. Their names are on our lips every day. Different people that we know are going through things at church who we think may need a lift, we pray for them every day together. So that's spend time in prayer with other people. If you're single, even if you get somebody on the phone, you get a friend on the phone. Phone a friend. Phone a friend prayer. We're going to start that here at Vision Church. Just phone a friend, say, hey, I need some prayer, and pray with your friends over the phone. You can... on your iPhone, if you have an iPhone, there's this cool little thing where you can, like, put people in on the call. You can have more than one person. It's like a party line. You can call and have several people on the phone. Y'all can pray together. You don't have to get out. You can social distance. You can be in your house. It's perfect. So try that sometime, praying with others. And then when praying, give thanks to God. He is so worthy of our thanks. And so many times we just come at him with a list, and we just start listing off all of our stuff. And really, the first thing we need to do is thank you that you are my God and that you hear me and that you do what I say when I pray in your will, that you grant my requests, that you take care of me, you protect me, all of these things he does. Just, you know, he is just so gracious and wonderful, and we just need to thank him. And then we need to pray for other people. If you have a friend or not a friend, who a coworker or anybody who you know is going through trouble, you don't even have to have a close relationship with them. God still wants you to pray for them. He's still happy to hear that prayer for those folks. And when appropriate, when you're praying for somebody, pray out loud so that they can hear. Because sometimes when people are in the midst of a trial, their faith is not always high. and they're having a hard time. And just you speaking the words sometimes is enough to just help lift them up out of that pit. So when appropriate, pray out loud. Pray for yourself. Pray for your attitude. Pray for all of that. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those people who despitefully use you, the Bible says. That's pretty bad when they despitefully use you. But we need to pray for them. Pray for them. And then pray honestly. Just, you know, you can't trick God. My dog can trick me. She has done it several times. She has this look on her face. She gets up in my lap, and she tilts her little head to the side, and she looks at me with her big brown eyes. And usually that means she has to go outside. So I get up out of my chair, and I go let her out. Well, now she's been tricking me, because now it doesn't mean she wants to go outside. Now it means I want a snack. So she gives me that look. I go open the door, and she stands over there in the kitchen wagging her tail like, I'm not going out there. So I can be tricked by a dog, but we can't trick God. We cannot trick him. We need to pray honestly to him. So the short version of all of this is pray. Pray in the morning. Pray in the noontime. Pray in the evening. Pray. It could be a simple, short little prayer. It could be a dedicated time of prayer. But we as Christians, we should be the ones praying, because we are the ones who have a true God. We're not praying to Buddha. We're not praying to Mary. We're not praying. We're praying to God. So we should be the ones who have the reputation for the long prayer life and all this dedicated prayer. And we need to be people of prayer. So let's just pray that we will be people of prayer and just kind of put a little bit more oomph in our prayer life. Father, we just come before you so thankful that we can pray to the Lord God of the universe. So thankful that you care for us and you love us and you are the real deal. We're not praying to some statue that can't do anything. We're not praying to air. We're praying to the God of the universe. So thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for loving us. Help us to realize that. Help us to really get that deep down in our spirit, that we are so fortunate and so blessed to pray to be your children and to be able to pray to you. And help us to invest more in our prayer time. Lord, I just ask that you would speak to each one of us. Just give us that your Holy Spirit may direct us to pray in the morning more or in the evening. Just, I don't know. You'll speak to each one of us individually. But Lord, just help us to just invest more time in that. And I just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Cindy. That is a real encouragement to pray. We need to hear that message maybe 10 or 15 times a day. No, not that much. Twice a day? All right, twice a day. Yeah, it's a good reminder. Because Paul said, pray without ceasing. And that doesn't mean one long prayer all day long, but it just means every time something comes up, well, don't forget, pray about it. So anyway, thanks for joining us today. That's about all we've got for today, but that's plenty to think about and pray about. So thanks for joining us. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.